Our reading is the opening of the Gospel of John. John's telling his version of the story of Christ. Notice how he begins. He begins his talk with God about God. Before we get to humanity, before we get to any human implications or anything else, we start with talk about God. John says, in the beginning, before there was anything, there was God. So that must mean, in some sense, that our faith begins not with assertions about what we need or what we must do, but first begins with who God is and what God has done. John begins with creation. God has given us creation, not merely as a result of the creative word, but also that sphere which has been created so that we can hear the word, that we can be continually evoked by the word, much like Genesis 1. So it seems that the purpose of the world and all its rich array of creatures, and including us, is so that the word might have an appropriate and grateful audience. So every time a prayer is spoken, every time a hymn is sung, or a sermon is preached, it's sort of Genesis 1 and John 1 all over again. Light coming into the darkness, and the darkness never overcoming the light. A new world is won through announcement, through proclamation, through speech, through singing, through prayer. The presence of God among us. Right? And what is that? John says, it's the eternal word of God. God from God, light from light. This one who cast the stars in their courses, who flung the planets into being, this one has become flesh. This one's moved in with us. Did you notice in our reading? John doesn't say that Jesus is some messenger from God, or that Christ is some representative from God. He makes the bold and shocking claim that Jesus is God. The Word was God. And you see, deep down, that's what we most wanted. Even though that we creatures didn't know that's, in fact, what we wanted, despite all our restless striving, our rushing here and there, our grabbing and getting, our buying and accumulating, all is in some sense an attempt to find what we need to have. And what we really need to have is light and life. We're just a bit too frenetic otherwise, a bit too driven, a bit too relentless, even about our preparation for this season. We spend too much on our children and on ourselves, and we have expected too much from this season. And yet, this morning, on Christmas morning, John announces to us, in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. He says the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. And then all of a sudden we realize what we need and desire most is nothing less than God. And we need it to come to us as a gift, something that we cannot order through a catalog, we cannot save up money and buy. This one must come to us as a free gift. John says that Jesus was the light coming into the world. Translators have argued about verse 9 here. The particle coming into the world may either mean something like this: the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. That's how our text has it. Or, he was the true light that enlightens everyone coming into the world, which implies that any of us who are born into the world are also born into a world where the light of Christ shines. Our translation speaks primarily of Christ as the one coming into the world. The other is the one who speaks of Christ, the light, coming to all who come into the world. Regardless of how you translate it, each stresses in their own way something about the incarnation of God. Christ is the light, but he doesn't simply just shine. Rather, he's the light that shines upon us, upon you and upon me, upon all of us who are in the world. He does not simply shine in some far-off heaven. Rather, it says he shines in the darkness. He shines in our darkness. He shines in the darkness of this world. We could then, following John here, take as a definition, what does it mean to be a Christian? Here, according to John at least, we could say, somebody upon whom the light has shined. The light now coming into the world. That doesn't make us any smarter or morally better than any other part of humanity. We are just those upon whom the light has shined. We walk toward the light. We have seen the light. And it makes all the difference, I think, in our lives. And so this day is the day we celebrate the light coming to us. The Word who was with God and the Word who is God. Coming to everybody. Enlightening a darkened world. That's, I think, what John means when he says that God is coming to dwell, coming to tent with us. God is here with us. And we know that the thing between us and God was not very particularly very good. It had, in fact, gotten quite bad. God tried, sent prophets to tell the truth, give us the scripture to proclaim, the word. But now, in the babe born in Bethlehem, God comes to us in the flesh as Jesus, the long-awaited Messiah. And before the story's done, we shall see God with us, walking among us, speaking to us, teaching us, guiding us, forgiving us, raising us from the dead. God will lead us down a path that we could not, would not have taken on our own. Last book of the Bible, next to the last chapter, we hear the hosts of heaven singing. The home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his people. God himself will be with them. There, the revelation of John depicts the final scene in this divine human drama as a redeeming of the world. It's not so much a picture of some heaven as in some out of the world, otherworldly sort of place. It's a picture of this world made right, this creation now finally completed as God intends. This story ending, not with us being moved to some faraway place, but the heavenly city descending to a world redeemed, renewed, and made new. It's a remarkable image, isn't it? From the beginning of John's Gospel to the very end, it's not a story about how we climb up to God, even though we try, but a story about God who comes down to us. And our hope, then, is not that we should sort of hope for some being taken away to some other world, but that God should, by descending, redeem us, redeem this world, that we might see the shining full presence of God in the flesh. I mean, that's the end of the story. Isn't that the point of it all? God will be with us and we will be with God. In fact, Revelation goes as far to say as calling that home. It's the same word John uses to describe the coming of Christ. To be home. Home with us. Tenting, tabernacling with us. God with us. It's the end of the good news. And that's why we gather here to sing our very best songs. The God who spoke the world into being, the God who comes to us as the Word, who begins as babe in Bethlehem. This one will be with us till the very last and beyond. And that's good Christmas news. Amen.